everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
Let's watch some clips here from the Dateline episode. And I want to talk about what happened to Ethan Chapin. And I don't like getting gory or anything, but it's simply just part of this case. So we're not getting into super detail, but this is what happened to Ethan. This is, again, from Dateline NBC and their reporting on the Koberger case.
When you're dealing with crimes that are motivated by anger toward women, the men that are in the way are rapidly dispatched.
Then, according to our sources, the killer did something strange. He carved Ethan's lower legs. Carved is the specific word that was used.
If you view that person as having gotten in the way of what it is you're trying to play out, you might be overwhelmed with anger toward them and do something extra. And I think it's a clue that there was a sexualized component to this, because this was about women. There was a special anger toward that male.
It looked like the killer sat down after that, said an investigative source, and left behind impressions in blood on a bedroom chair.
He's exhausted. He's gone through four people.
People that commit mass murder don't anticipate the adrenal exhaustion that's going to overwhelm them when they do it.
I want to talk about specifically Ethan's, the word carving on his legs. Ethan was someone who, I mean, at the end of the day, didn't pose a threat to Koberger. He killed Ethan when Ethan was sleeping. Basically hit his carotid artery with the neck. And then I'm sure Ethan probably woke up for a few moments and then died, probably very unsure of what the hell was going on. And then after that, had his leg carved into by Koberger. It's not one of the girls. Mm-hmm. What does that say about what Koberger was feeling about Ethan?
A tremendous amount of rage, obviously. And it makes me wonder if some of that wasn't about Ethan was the kind of person that Koberger could never become. He was someone that had a girlfriend that was loved by everyone who knew him. We don't know how much Koberger knew about him in advance, but he probably knew something about him. And this, you know, in that way, he became symbolic for everything that Koberger wasn't, and that could have spurred the anger. We've talked before about Koberger kind of fitting the model of an incel. Mm-hmm. And incel men are particularly rageful, not only at women and at beautiful women in particular, but they're rageful at successful, attractive men as well.
Yeah. And that's the thing in that community. They have like names for it. Is it Ken's? Is that what they call
Chad? Chad and Stacy.
Chad's. Okay. Yes. Chad's and Stacy's. I was thinking Barbie for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that
but,
fits.
Yeah. Chad's and Stacy's. And that's something we don't think about all that often. We don't talk about all that often. We often think about these are men who are, they're so rageful because they can't get the women, and the women find them utterly repulsive and creepy because they are utterly
repulsive and creepy.
Yeah. But they can't quite figure out why. So it's everybody else's fault except their own, including the males. And that's an interesting thing when it comes to this, because you don't see them necessarily going after the men, at least that we see often in these cases. It's them going after the women with that hate and that spite. Is this a rare case where we see, if he is kind of an incel type thinking guy, that a man physically went after another man in a jealous rage as well because of not being able to be like them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was the case down in Santa Barbara, California, with Elliot Rogers, who was the incel, who identified very openly as being an incel. He his initial goal was to take out a whole sorority house full of young women. They locked the door on him and he couldn't get in. So he then went around town with a gun and his BMW and was running into people. And he killed quite a few young, attractive men in this killing spree. So I think it's like, well, if you can't get the Stacy, then go for the Chad.
Wow. And just incidentally, there's that profile online that when and people go back and forth and if it was him or not, the Papa Rogers, which seemed to know information, but nobody else knew and seemed to be an odd little homage to Elliot Rogers. It wasn't Papa Roger. It was Rogers, which is rather interesting. Let's watch another clip from Dateline talking about the mind of Koberger and some of his apparently chilling fantasies. Let's take a look.
He's clearly trolling and getting stimulated by looking at people who, in his mind, fuel the fantasy.
And with the trial just weeks away, how will his attorneys defend Brian Koberger with the death penalty hanging over his head? How do you mount a defense to all that stuff?
Piece by piece. And if one card falls, then the house can fall.
Do you think the house can fall on this one? Do you think that there's any chance here that Koberger is going to have some sort of story or alibi that's going to put reasonable doubt in the mind of a jury from what we know so far?
I cannot imagine what it would be. I just can't imagine. And I've tried to keep an open mind.
Yeah.
But there's just so much evidence here. And we haven't even heard all of it at this point.
No.
So it just, to me, looks absolutely overwhelming.
Let's do this clip. This is an interesting angle, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. We're, of course, talking about minds of people who kill like this, serial killers, and what they do leading up, how they get themselves in the mode that they're going to go into. Let's watch this clip, and we'll talk on the other side.
Koberger watched a video on his phone containing this quote. It read, "Something is wrong with me. I can't be who I need to be. Something is wrong with me. Will it last for eternity?
It doesn't fit into society."
Then, later that morning...
How you doing?
How y'all doing today?
The Kobergers' father and son were pulled over in Indiana.
He was right up on the back end of that van.
Not once, but twice. For following too closely.
Make sure you give yourself plenty of room, okay?
3 days after the Kobergers arrived back home in Albrightsville, Pennsylvania, the FBI had traced the DNA on the knife sheath to a geographic area, the Northeast, then to a family, the Kobergers, and finally settled on a likely suspect in the murders on King Road, Brian Koberger. Later that week, two more selfies of Koberger in a black hoodie showed up on his phone. And as Christmas came and went, a source close to the investigation has confirmed.
There's two things there. Let's talk about the what he was listening to on his phone. I believe there's actually lyrics to a Britney Spears song. And it was a twisted, it was a slowed down, creepy version of it as well that he was listening to.
Wow.
A lot of people in their lives, let's just take normal human healthy behavior. They look today. It's memes online. It's like self-affirming memes, and this is good and this is great, and God's doing this or I'm doing that or whatever. It's okay. Yeah, yay, rah, rah, positive. If you're someone like this and you don't feel like that, I guess you may surround yourself with content that speaks to how you feel. Is that as simple as what that is?
Yeah, I think people often use, you can tell a lot about people about what do they listen to over and over and over again, right? And it's not necessarily, well, if you listen to this kind of song, it means that about you, but it means something.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always know what that is. But I think it's, again, it's another piece of this, there's something wrong with me, when you go back to all his internet posts where he was writing about, I don't feel connected to other people. This is a guy who was isolated and knew that he was different from other people, but doesn't seem to have the wherewithal to alter much about his personality. So just, I think if we got into the brain of Brian Koberger with enough finesse, which we don't really have, you know, neuroscience that can do that at this point, but I think we would see that this is somebody that, yes, there was something wrong with, and there had always been something wrong with him.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.